The Gemara here on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph on the bottom of the Amud quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah records machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, and the question is whether a katan can recite Kriyas HaMegillah on behalf of the Gedolim. And Tosus asks the obvious question here: what are we talking about? If we're talking about a katan shelo higil lechinuch, then he's not chayav at all. And we have a principle based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that if someone's not chayav in a mitzvah, he cannot be motzi others in the mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda makes no sense. If on the other hand we're talking about a katan shehigia lechinuch, then there's a mitzvah midrabanan incumbent upon the katan. That's how Tosus assumes. And therefore he is mechuyav no less than the rest of the people, because Megillah is only a mitzvah derabanan. So therefore the katan who's chayav midrabanan has the same identical chiyuv as the rest of the tzibur. That's Tosus's premise here. Later on he's going to suggest a different possibility. And the katan should be able to be motzi the tzibur because of the chiyuv chinuch, even according to the Rabbanan. So now we're at loss as to explain the Rabbanan of Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosus gives two answers. In the second answer, he's going to question the very premise that a katan in Megillah has the same identical chiyuv as the gadol, even though Megillah is only Rabbanan, but the katan's chiyuv is already one step removed. But we're going to focus our attention on the first Teretz of Tosus. And we pointed out already last time that the Teretz of Tosus here is a little bit obfuscated, a little bit ambiguous. He speaks about the fact that Birkas HaMazon, in the case where the person who ate is not Chayev Midaraisa, because how much did he eat? He only ate a Kezayas, right? He didn't eat Kedei Sevia. In that case, it's a Chumri Yisera. It's not really a bona fide chiyuv derabanan like any other chiyuv derabanan. And therefore we're going to be mekil, and we're going to allow for the katan to be motzi the gadol. The gadol ate a kezayis, and that's what we saw in the case in the Gemara on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, that a katan could be motzi his father. He's mevarech for aviv, because his father only ate a kezayis, and that's why we can equate these two chiyuvim. And now Tosus comes to the conclusion that according to the Rabbanan, the reason why the Rabbanan against Rabbi Yehuda claimed that a katan cannot be motzi a gadol in Megillah is because despite the fact that they both have chiyuvim derabanan, those chiyuvim derabanan are somehow different one from the other. Tosus doesn't go into detail as to why the Chachamim reject Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda allows the katan to be motzi the gadol in Megillah. The Chachamim object, and therefore Tosus says that the universal rule, according to the Shitas Chachamim, is that a katan cannot be motzi a gadol even in a mitzvah derabanan. That's the Shita of the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, and the paradigm case is going to be Megillah. And Tosus says if that's going to be the rule, then we're going to have to assume that the Gemara Daf Chaf Amud Beis that allows a katan to be motzi a gadol in a chiyuv birkas hamazon derabanan, meaning the gadol only ate kizayis, that is the exception to the rule rather than the rule. And what justifies the exception to the rule? The fact that we're going to be more mekil in Birkas HaMazon and allow for a katan to be motzi a gadol who's only ate a kezayis, because that's not a full-fledged bona fide mitzvah derabanan, that's a chumra bialma. Why is that called a chumra bialma? Chumra yisera? That's what we have to come back and understand. But what we want to do in order to analyze and appreciate this Tosfos, and we began this process last week, but I think I have a whole other approach, is to understand the machlokas between Rashi and Tosus on Daf Mem Ches Omed Aleph. Without going through the whole sugya on Daf Mem Ches Omed Aleph, the conclusion of that Gemara is that if, we'll call him Reuven, if Reuven is chayav in a mitzvah derabanan, he could be Motzi Shimon, who's chayav in a mitzvah d'oraisa. The case in point is Birkas HaMazon. And the case is that Rav Shimon ben Shetach, who only ate a kizayis, and therefore he wasn't chayav in Birkas HaMazon d'oraisa, was Motzi Yanai HaMelech in Birkas HaMazon. Yanai didn't know how to make the bracha, even though Yanai presumably had eaten a full seudah. So therefore Yanai was chayav d'oraisa. And Tosis wants to understand this, because not only Tosis, Rashi wants to understand this, because as a general rule, we say that two people, if for one to be motzi, the other have to share the same chiyuv. If they're both chayiv derabanan, that's one thing, they're both chayiv d'oraisa, that's fine. But in this case, where Reuven, Rav Shimon ben Shetach, Reuven is being motzi Shimon, that's Yanai, even though Reuven only ate a kezayis, he's only chayev derabbanan. And Shimon, in this case, Yanai HaMelech ate a shir of kedei svi, he's chayev birkas HaMazon d'oraisa. How could it be that someone who's mechuyev derabbanan can be motzi someone who's chayev d'oraisa? And here we have a gigantic machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi gives one answer to this question, and Tosis gives another answer to this question. Rashi gives an answer, and he says that if someone is mechuyev midrabanan, he can be motzi others even though they are chayev d'oraisa. Let's read the Rashi inside. Rashi says, Miu, kevan de mechayev midrabanan, the person who ate a kezayis is chayev midrabanan birkas HaMazon. Is mechuyev bedavar karinan bay? He's considered mechuyev bedavar, even vis-a-vis a chiyuv da'oraisa umotzi ravim yidecho vasam. And then Rashi addresses the following question: could a katan be motzi a gadol in birkas hamazon? Why not assume that the katan is chayev midrabanan, and therefore applying the rule of Rashi that someone who's mechuyev derabanan is considered a bar chiyuva, he could be motzi someone else, the katan should be able to be motzi a gadol in birkas hamazon? And although that applies very well in the case where the gadol only ate a kezayis that we saw from the Gemara and Daf Chaf Amid Beis, but why not go a step further? Even if the gadol ate kedei svi and he's chayav d'oraisa, nevertheless the katan should be considered a mechuyev bedavar. Why? Because Rashi's rule is that even a chiyuv d'rabbanan engenders that status of a mechuyev bedavar, such that now he can be motzi someone who's chayav d'oraisa. So Rashi comes up with the answer that what? That the case of a katan is what? Is different. It's eino mechuyev bedavar. Says Rashi, b'katan, he says, afal gav, Rashi says, v'yimtov b'katan shigil l'chinuch. Let's assume he came, he's mature enough to be obligated mitzad chinuch. Says Rashi, and these are the words I would underline, ha'hu afilu midrabanan lo mechay. So here we have machlokes between Rashi and Tosus, and this reverberates throughout Shas, in Sukkah and elsewhere in Brachas, whether or not the mitzvah of chinuch is incumbent upon the child himself or it's incumbent upon the father. Rashi maintains that the chiyuv chinuch was imposed by the chachamim on the father. The son doesn't have a chiyuv. Not midoraisa for sure, he's not a bar chiyuv, and not even midrabanan. Tosis is going to argue, as we'll soon see, but the premise of Rashi is that had the Rabbanon imposed the Chiyuv Chinuch on the Katan, he, the Katan, would now be equal to anyone who's Mechuyuv the Rabbanon, like for example a Gadol who ate a Kezayis, and the Katan could be Motzi a Gadol even if the Gadol ate Kedei Sviya. Because again, Rashi's rule of thumb is he who is obligated Mid Rabbanon is considered a Mechuyuv Bedavar. And he can be motzi someone who's mechuyev d'oraisa. That's Rashi's rule of thumb. The exception to the rule is going to be katan, because the rabbanan never imposed the chiyuv on the katan himself. They only imposed the chiyuv on the father. Tosis, on the other hand, before before we see his barrage of kashas on Rashi, Tosis offers a different approach. Tosis says a mechuyav bedavar derabbanon cannot be motzi a mechuyav bedavar d'oraisa. Rashi is incorrect. However, there is another principle. And Tosis introduces the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. Ein Ochinam. In order to be motzi someone who's chayev d'oraisa, you have to be chayev d'oraisa. But you only ate a kezayis. How could you be chayev d'oraisa? The answer is arvus. When there's a halach of arvus, the Torah says that not only are you chayev because you ate, and therefore v'achalto v'savato uveirachto, there's a whole other method of being chayev. Whereas he, your friend, he ate the achalta v'savata brachta. Nu, vas benich shuldik, why am I guilty if he had a meal? The answer is that if he had a meal, you become a chuyiv in Birkas HaMazon. And the Ran says this explicitly in Rosh Hashanah, that a person is not yotzei his chiyuv if there's someone else who shares that same identical chiyuv and he hasn't been yotzei. So what we do through arvus is we take the chiyuv on Shimon and we transfer it over to Reuven. Reuven, although he didn't eat, and therefore you would say to me, certainly he's not chayiv in the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, nevertheless, he is chayiv. Why? Because Shimon ate. And if Shimon has not been yotzi his chiyuv, then Reuven hasn't been yotzi his chiyuv. And therefore he doesn't have to eat at all, according to Tosfos. Tosfos is going to add, why did Shimon ben Chetek insist on eating kezayis? Because Baruch Shachal, fine, we'll get to that in a minute. But fundamentally, according to Tosfos, where the principle of arvus kicks in, you become a mechuyav v'dor, because yenam, he didn't fulfill his obligation. Truth be told, we know this in Averos. We don't know it in mitzvahs. You know, it's a pretty radical breakthrough in mitzvahs. In Averos, we have a parsha in Tanakh that's based on this principle that a person is responsible for someone else's sins. And you know, anybody have an idea what parsha in Tanakh I'm referring to? Yeshua, the case of Achan, correct. That because Achan ate from the shalal against the will of Hashem, the entire community was held responsible. But now the flip side is, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, not only in Averos, but even in mitzvahs. And therefore, I become a mechuyav b'dor because you aren't yotzei. So again, let's analyze the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that a chiyuv d'rabbanan creates a status of a mechuyav b'dor. And if you're a mechuyav b'dor, you can be motzi someone else even though he's chayav d'oraisa. Tosfos objects. Tosfos says there ain't no such rule. If you're only chayav in its mitzvah d'rabbanan. For example, let's take a person who would never ever be chayav in a mitzvah d'oraisa. For example, let's take an Isha in Birkas HaMazon according to that Deya, that she's not considered Mechuyeves because she's not in Bris, or she's not in the Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, she's not in Torah, whatever it might be, correct? That's a sugya later on. So her maximum level of Chiyuv would be what? The Rabbanon. Or, take for example the case of a person who is not included in the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, right? The Rabbanan might include him in the mitzvah of Bikurim, he's not included. Let's say a ger, we have to know, right? There are many cases where a person could never ever engender a chiyuv d'oraisa. As far as that mitzvah is concerned, the Torah completely, completely eliminated him, absolved him of any obligation. Such a person, says Tosfos, even if the Rabbanan are mechayev him, is called an eino mechuyav bedavar. And therefore he cannot be motzi someone who's chayev d'oraisa. And Tosfos assumes that according to Rashi, there's some sort of universal principle that if the Rabbanan impose the chiyuv on me, then I become a mechuyav bedavar. And even a cotton would become a mechuyav bedavar, except that the Rabbanan never said so. According to Rashi, they only obligated the father. Tosfos Lishitosa says, no, Rashi is making a grave error. There's no such thing as elevating a person to a mechuyav bedavar to be motzi someone else who's chayav d'oraisa simply because the Rabbanan obligated him. Says Tosfos, a different principle that operates here. What makes Reuven mechuyev v'davar? After all, he didn't eat anything. The answer is arvus, that the chiyuv on Shimon now is transferred vicariously over to Reuven, and Reuven has to be motzi Shimon. Therefore, Reuven becomes a mechuyev v'davar. But medvar mamurim, only if Reuven is part of that mitzvah. If he's part of that mitzvah, he accepted, you know, at Har Sinai, the chiyuv of that mitzvah, so he accepted it not only on himself, but also on others. That's called arvus. But if Reuven was completely excluded from the mitzvah midaraisa, and he would never ever be chayv under all circumstances, no conditions that are met could engender a chiyuv on Reuven, he's a lab bar chiyuv, even though the rabbanan might be mechayev him. And if he's a lab bar chiyuv, as far as that mitzvah is concerned, he doesn't have arvus on that mitzvah. The din of arvus is in the mitzvah itself, vis-a-vis the person. If this mitzvah, vis-a-vis Ploni, is potentially a machayev, then Ploni is considered included in arvus as far as that mitzvah is concerned. If that mitzvah would never, ever, even in the wildest potential, obligate Reuven, because Reuven has a Ptur Gavra, and the Torah would never be Mechayev Reuven, we could call it he's Mufka from the Chiyuv Toraisa, then he's called an Einam Mechuyev B'Dover, despite the fact that Rabbanan might indeed impose a Chiyuv on him. That's the Sheet of Tosfos. Therefore, Tosfos is going to say the following. In Birkas HaMazon, we're going to have a fundamental difference between the Gadol HaMavarech and the Katan HaMavarech. The Gadol HaMavarech could recite Birchas HaMazon B'motzi, another Gadol who is obligated to Oraisa because he ate Kedei Svia. In the case of a Katan, although the Katan could be Motzi, a Gadol who ate Kedei Kezayis, meaning an only Achiv Drabbanim, because Tos again is assuming that in Birkas HaMazon, if you have two equal Chiyuvim Drabbanon, then one could be Motzi the other, but a Katan could never ever be Motzi a Gadol who ate Kedei Sviyus Chayav Doraisa. Says Tosfos, why? Because a katan is not included in arvus. And why isn't a katan included in arvus? Because he could never become a bar chiyuva in this state of being. You and I might have said, but wait a minute, maybe tomorrow will become a gadol. You know, tomorrow we know he's going to go to, he's going to become bar mitzvah. That's a different gavra. The gavra of a katan per se is not included in arvus. Arvus will emerge after bar mitzvah, but not before. And therefore the katan could never be motzi a gadol who's chayv doraisa. Comes along Rashi and he argues. Rashi says that theoretically a katan could be motzi a gadol. We don't need arvus because there's a separate halacha that if you're chayev derabbanan, you become a bar chiyuv and you can be motzi a gadol even though the gadol is chayev d'oraisa. The teretz is, Rashi says, that why does the Gemara establish that ben mevarech li'ovav because his father ate a kezayis, but had his father eaten kedei svia, the ben would not be able to be mevarech. That's because Rashi says we have a mistaken nomer or a mistaken definition of chiyuv chinuch. Chiyuv chinuch has nothing to do with the katan; it's on the father. So again, there is a nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos on a theoretical level, meaning, in theory, if you have a katan, and Rashi would agree that he's chayav midrabbanon, Rashi would say that that katan could be motzi a gadol yidei chavaso, even though the gadol is chayav d'oraisa. Why? Because Rashi holds that a chayav d'rabbanon is enough to engender the status of a mechuyav b'davar. And once you're a mechuyav b'davar, you can be motzi another mechuyav b'davar. Tosfos says that's not so. That's a grave error. A mechuyav b'davar d'rabbanon can never be motzi a mechuyav b'davar d'oraisa, but rather we have a different halacha that operates here. And the reason why, for example, in the case of Rav Shimon ben Shetach, he can be motzi Yanei HaMelech, is because there's a halacha of arvus, which means that if a person could potentially be chayav in that mitzvah d'oraisa, he's included in the mitzvah if the conditions are met, he becomes a bar chiyuva through the halach of arvus, meaning that since Shimon was not yotzi his chiyuv birkas hamazon d'oraisa, Reuven becomes mechuyuv b'davar But Medvar Amurim, says Tosfos, that's only because it's a potential. You're included in the Chiyuv HaMitzvah potentially. But in the case of a Katan, Vitaris Katan, he can never be Chayav Dorais in the Mitzvah. Therefore, he's a Lav Bar Chiyuva. He's not included in Arvus. And he could never be Yotzi Agadol who ate a full shear of a Chiyuv Dorais of Kidei Sviya. Now, how does it work in a case where a ben is mevarech li aviv, if aviv only ate a kezias? Again, according to Tosfos, it cannot operate me din arvus because a katan is not included in arvus. We could have to say that there's some sort of halachia that if they both share the same chiv d'rabbanon, one could be motzi the other. That's going to be a problem for Tosfos because again, we hold like the rabbanon that a katan could not be Korei, Mikra, Megillah on behalf of Gadol, even though they both share the identical Chiyuv Derabbanan, and that's where Tosfos says that Birkas HaMazon, that's Tosfos here on Daf Tesvav, is the exception to the rule, because it's not a full-fledged Chiyuv Derabbanan, it's a Chumri Yisera, whatever that means, we don't know what it means, but we'll come back.
Why isn't the Rashi, or I shouldn't say, already make an assumption, but is Rashi saying that this is the only mitzvah where the premise of Arevus doesn't
excellent.
Apply?
Oh, wait a minute. So again, wait, there are two questions here, Yechiv. Yeah. No, there are two questions you should ask. I thought you were going to ask what I call the $64,000 question. Right? No. Yeah, that'll come later. No, your question is, and we asked this question the other day, I mean, what, Rashi rejects the principle of Arvus. I mean, the simplest way of resolving Rashi's problem over here, allowing Shimon ben Shetach, who only ate a kezias, to be motzi yanai, who ate k'dei sviyas chayv d'orais, the simple answer could have been, kol Yisrael arevim zeh b'zeh. Right, so ostensibly, why did Rashi object to the simple approach? And then to say that a katan cannot be motzi a gadol who ate k'dei sviyah, because the katan is excluded from arvus. Why did Rashi need to get so obfuscated, so complicated? And the answer to that, we claimed, that was what we threw out last week, is that Rashi has a different understanding of Birkas HaMazon. Rashi understands that Birkas HaMazon is what kind of mitzvah? Who remembers? Don't all answer once. What kind of bracha is it? A Birkas HaNim. Excellent. And there's no din of harvest by a Birkas HaNim. But now, Yechiel, we come to what I call the main question, or the primary question, and that is, how could Rashi possibly say that someone who's mechuyev midrabanan in a mitzvah can be motzi someone who's chayiv d'oraisa? It's a grave error. All over Shas, the premise is that two people, in order for one to be motzi, they'll have to share the identical chiyuv. Whether or not the katan has the identical chiyuv as a gadol, you know, because of, let's say, a mikra megillah or ner chanukah or some other mitzvah, but okay, we can debate that issue. But it's undeniable that someone who's not chayiv d'oraisa cannot be motzi someone who's chayiv d'oraisa unless you introduce the principle of arvus. And Rashi seems to be adamantly circumventing the mitzvah of arvus. He just simply omits the principle, excuse me, of arvus. Haraya, Rashi says that if a katan who's not included in arvus would have been chayiv d'rabbanan, he can be motzi a gadol. But all of Shas is built on the predicate, on the premise that for one person to be motzi another person, he's got to share the same level of chiyuv. And a mitzvah d'rabbanan is not the same level of chiyuv as a mitzvah d'orais. So here, Rabosai, we come back to the following question. When Rashi says on Daf Mem Ches in Masechet Brachos that a mechuyev bedover derabbanan could be motzi someone who's chayev d'oraisa, and we would say it can't be, Rashi can't say such a thing, then we have to ask the following question: is Rashi talking about a universal principle, or is Rashi focused specifically on this mitzvah? This one single mitzvah Rashi isolates. A chiyuv d'rabbanan could be motzi a d'oraisa. And what mitzvah do we have in mind? Birkas HaMazon. Birkas HaMazon shayin. Again, not the way Tosfos says, because of Chumri Yisera. We're talking about a Shimon ate a full meal of Kedei Sviz, Chayiv d'oraisa, so Chumri Yisera is not relevant to that discussion. We're going to have to find some sort of justification. We're going to have to shed some sort of light on Rashi's assumption that Birkas HaMazon wasn't shiny and a Chiyuv d'rabbanan could be Motzi d'oraisa. And here, we want to suggest the following. Rashi had a problem because of a stira between two sugyas. Tosis tried to just completely shove the stira, shall we say, sweep it under the carpet. The Gemara says that v'achalta v'savata uveirachta, and this again is the Gemara on Daf Memtesam in base, that v'achalta means kizayis, because ein achila p'chusa mikizayis, and v'savata means shtia of revius, and yachayev in berkas hamos. Then Rabbi Yehuda says no, that v'achalta v'savata means you ate kidei sviya. But clearly the Gemara assumes that the chiyuv of achila of birkas hamazon in the case of achilas kizayis is doraisa. That's how Rabbi Meir understood the pasuk v'achalta. Tosus says, "Nein, ilmeri dahani kroy asmachta v'almaninu divi doraisa be'inon kidei sviya gemura kidamrina beperik mishav meso dafchafa mideis." And the Gemara says that why does Hashem have masa ponim for Klal Yisrael? Because they took upon themselves the chumra of benching after they ate a kizayis. Tosus says that Rabbi Meir derives achilas kizayis from the pasuk v'achalta. That's doraisa. It's not a chumra yisera. Why do they deserve masa upon him? So Tosus says, V'achalta v'savata kizayis is only in a smach. Rashi had a different answer to that question. Rashi holds that V'achalta kizayis is doraisa. And yet, Klal Yisrael took upon themselves a chumra to be mevarech after kizayis. How could I say A and not A at the same time? I'm contradicting myself. The answer is, this is typical brisk alumnus. We distinguish between a chiyuv and a kiyuv. Very often we have a chiyuv derabanan, but the kiyuv is doraisa. And Rashi understood that the chiyuv doraisa of yachalta v'savata v'rachta is kidei sviya and lesman de poli, that was never an issue. What is kizayis then? So you and I would have said, we would have walked away from the sugya saying that kizayis is like Megillas Esther, or like Ner Chanukah, or like Ner Shabbos, a pure Drabonon. Nein, says Rashi. That's not so. Included within V'achalta is a kizayis. Included within the Doraisa framework is kizayis. We're not talking about Mikra Megillah, which is purely a Takonis Chachomim. However, says Rashi, that is only as far as the Kiyum HaMitzvah is concerned. The Kiyum HaMitzvah is Doraisa with the Kizayis. The Chiyuv Mitzvah, the Torah adds a condition, V'Savata, you need Kidei Sviya. But as far as the Kiyum HaMitzvah, which means to create a Mitzvah Doraisa, you don't need the Chiyuv. And this is not the first time, Rabosai, that we are encountering a case where although the Torah alleviated you from the chiyuv, the Torah still nevertheless recognizes the kiyum mitzvah. And the classical example, although there are many examples, is tefillah. The Ramban insists that there's no chiyuv tefillah d'oraisa. He doesn't want to count it in the Taryag. He's got a zillion and one rayas that tefillah is only d'rabbanan against the Ramban. But the answer is, the Ramban never denied that the Torah recognizes tefillah. That would be chas v'sholom to say such a thing. The answer is, the Ramban says that there's no chiyuv tefillah d'oraisa. Avodah Shebelev encompasses many different dimensions. But the Ramban would not deny, this was Rav Chaim's famous breakthrough, that although the chiyuv tefillah is not d'oraisa, the kiyum tefillah is d'oraisa. There's an entity of tefillah which the Torah recognizes, and so too in brachos. If there is some reason that justifies you making a bracha, again, we're very stingy about brachos. We're very tight-fisted about brachos because of lo sisa. But when there is justification to recite the bracha, the Torah itself recognizes the bracha. The bracha is an entity even midoraisa. And that's why, on the one hand, we can say that v'achalta v'savata is doraisa, the requirement of kidei sviya. And at the same time, we could say there's a mitzvah doraisa, even if he didn't eat kidei sviya, he only ate kizayis. Because once he eats a kizayis, he is chayav in birkas hamazon midrabanan, but that facility that allows him to create an entity of a bracha which even the Torah recognizes. And therefore, the chefetz shel bracha is doraisa. The kiyum mitzvahs birkas hamazon is doraisa. And the masapanim v'dover is that Klal Yisrael took upon themselves a chiyuv to be mevarech birkas hamazon, even though they only ate a kizayis. But once having done so, when I bench on a kizayis, I obtain a kiyuv mitzvah doraisa because the Torah itself recognizes that bracha. Oh, says Rashi. You know what? As a universal rule, mechuyev b'dov b'drabanan cannot be motziyah mechuyev b'dov b'doraisa. They don't share the same chiyuv. But the difference, the yotzei dofen, the exception to the rule, is going to be a bracha. When the rabbanan obligate a person in a bracha, it's as for our purposes, it's as if he was mechuyev b'dovar. Why is it as if he's mechuyev b'dovar? Because he can create an entity of a bracha doraisa. And once the Torah recognizes that entity called a chefetz shel bracha, then Reuven can be motzi Shimon, even though Reuven ate a kezai, Shimon ate kidei svia. Reuven is only chayev midrabban, and Shimon is chayev de oraisa, says Rashi. In this particular mitzvah, a mechuyev bedover midrabbanon has the same status as a mechuyev bedover doraisa. That's what Rashi means. He's a mechuyev bedover, meaning he who ate a kezais has the capacity to create an entity of a bracha which the Torah itself recognizes as a bracha. And he obtains a kiyum doraisa, and now he can link up with Shimon, and Shimon could be mekayim his mitzvah by hooking up or tuning into the bracha that Reuven created, which the Torah recognizes as a valid bracha, and now Shimon could be yotzi zayin his chiyuv. Says Rashi, I don't need arvus for that. Forget about arvus. I need arvus for an eino mechuyev bedavar to somehow engender a mechuyev bedavar status when he's not mechuyev bedavar. But if someone is mechuyev bedavar in birkas hamazon, i.e. the rabbanon engendered a chiyuv, and even for that matter a katan, if lu yitzur a katan would have been chayav in chinuch as a personal chiyuv, Rashi would then insist that the katan now could create a chefetz shel bracha, which the Torah recognizes, and now he could be motzi a gadol in a chiyuv doraisa that would certainly not apply to any other mitzvah. If there's a havamina, for example, according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that a katan shigil a chinuch can recite kriyas hamegillah on behalf of a gadol, that's the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. That's only because mikra megillah is derabanan. Had mikra megillah been doraisa, chinuch aher and chinuch ahin wouldn't make a dent, because that could, at the best case scenario, create a chiyuv derabanan. That's as far as mikra megillah is concerned. But as far as bracha is concerned, Rashi says there's a new halach in bracha that once you're mechuyuv midrabanan, you have the power now to create an entity which even the Torah recognizes. In the case of kriyas hamegillah, your maisa kriya is not recognized by the Torah, even if you're a katan shigil achinuk, and even if I would grant you that the katan himself is chayav, but the Torah says you're not chayav. So you can't create an entity of kriyas hamegillah. That maisa is not recognized by the Torah. But birkas hamazon is different. Birkas hamazon, the Torah itself, has a kiyum hamitzvah without a chiyuv. And if a katan was only a bar chiyuva, he could create this entity called a chefetz shel bracha. He could be motzi a gadol who ate kidei svia and eschayev doraisa. And here's where Tosfos says, no, I will not accept what Rashi says. Tosfos says birkas hamazon has to be understood from the perspective of kol mitzvah haTorah. It's equal, it doesn't deserve its own status. And if the gadol is nitfas, he lends himself to the chiyuv doraisa because he could eat kidei svia, therefore he becomes a mechuyuv dor through what channel, says Tosfos? Through arvus. But if he's a katan, and even if a katan is personally chayav in the mitzvah of chinuch, and therefore he has a mitzvah derabanan, nevertheless he's a lav bar chiyuv on a deraisa level, and therefore he's not included in the arva. So therefore Tosus would say against Rashi. It's funny. You know, on the one hand, Rashi is, so to speak, the vehicle in chinuch, because he's shifting the responsibility from the shoulders of the katan over to the shoulders of his father. But on the other hand, Dafka Rashi is, so to speak, the theoretical machmir in chinuch, because what Rashi is conveying to us with regard to chinuch is that if the chiyuv chinuch would be imposed, would be incumbent upon the child, he himself, the child, could be motzi the gadol who ate kidei svia d'oraisa. Because Rashi holds that once you impose a chiyuv d'rabbanan on a child, or on anybody, he now has the capacity to create that entity called the Chefter Shel Brach, which the Torah itself recognizes he can be motzi a gadol. And therefore, according to Rashi, when Shimon ben Shetach ate a kizayis, he now becomes chayav in birkas hamazon midrabbanan. And once he's chayav in birkas hamazon midrabbanan, he can be motzi yanei who ate kidei svia d'oraisa. Because Rashi holds that the chiyuv d'rabbanan is enough to engender a kiyum d'oraisa and a chefter shel bracha to establish that Shimon, who's chayav d'oraisa, can tune in, link into that bracha, and be yotzi his chiyuv d'oraisa. Tosfos says no. It's impossible. There's no such thing. If you're chayav d'rabbanan, you're on a different level. You cannot be motzi someone who's chayav d'oraisa. Chok v'lo yav. No exceptions to that rule. The only thing is, in certain cases, I don't need you to be chayav now to be motzi someone else who's chayav d'oraisa. I need you to be potentially chayav in that mitzvah. Once you're potentially chayav in the mitzvah, you're included in the mitzvah. If so, fact you're included in the arvus, you become a bar chiyuva. And now you, both Reuven and Shimon, share the same level of chiyuv d'oraisa, and arvus kicks in such that Reuven can be motzi Shimon, even though Reuven did not eat a thing. But it doesn't matter, since he's included in the concept of bar chiyuv as far as the mitzvah of birkas hamazon. Haraya had eaten kidei svia b'chayev d'oraisa. Therefore, he's a mechuyev b'dorah through the channel, the mechanism of arvus. Rashi can't allow himself that luxury of introducing arvus, because Rashi holds a birkas hamazon b'chlal not shayach to arvus. It's a birkas hanenim and not a birkas hamitzvah. Because as we discussed at great length, the mechayev is the achila. If the mechayev is achila, it's only a birkas hanenim. So Rashi doesn't have the option here of introducing arvus. Rashi has to come up with a new principle, which Tosus accused him of, a universal principle, which contradicts everything we know in Shas, that a mechuyev d'rabbanan can be motzi mechuyev d'oraisa. There ain't no such thing. It never will be, and it never was, never will be. Nor was Rashi means a separate halacha in bracha, that once the Rabbanan imposed upon you a chiyuv bracha, that itself engenders a bracha d'oraisa. Although the chiyuv is the Rabbanan, the chiyuv is d'oraisa, the entity of the bracha is d'oraisa, and Shimon who's chayiv d'oraisa can link in to that. I was very excited about this approach before, shall we say, Motzi Shabbos. Now Motzi Shabbos, we were waiting for a kumzitz. I don't know if any of you were at the kumzitz. So I had a little bit of time, and I started saying to myself the following. It's a very nice mahalach in Rashi, but I got one problem. It's not my problem, it's Rabbi Kivega's problem. Rabbi Kivega's problem is that the Gemara establishes on Daf Chofonis that a woman should not be motzi her husband in Birkas HaMazon. Now wait a second. Bishleim, according to Tosfos, it works out beautifully. A woman can never be obligated to rice in Birkas HaMazon, according to that Shita, and therefore she's excluded from Arvus. She never becomes a Bar Chiyuva to be included in Arvus. Is the Afla of a fella. The Gemara is beautiful. But if I hold like Rashi, and Rashi holds that a Mechuyu B'dov D'Rabbanan could be motzi mechuyev b'dov d'oraisa, and even though that's not true in Kol Tarkula University, but it's true here in the case of Birkas HaMazon. So my grace, so why should a woman be inferior to a katan? Rashi says that if a katan was only a bar chiyuv d'rabbanan because chinuch was incumbent upon the katan himself, then the katan could be motzi a gadol, even though the gadol is chayev d'oraisa, and we explain that at great length. Why not apply the same exact logic to the case of an isha? And Rabbi Kivega leaves this question unanswered. So what I'd like to try to do with you today is reinterpret Rashi and offer a whole different mahalach in Rashi.
Well, I like this one.
Okay? You like this one, but I don't know what to do with Rabbi Akiva. So I'd like to suggest a mahalach based on the Rambam. And we'll see if the Rambam could somehow, with a conceptual breakthrough, give us an ability to reinterpret Rashi. So let's begin with the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis. I'm sorry, Perek Hei, Halacha Beis. The Rambam is speaking about the mitzvah of Zimun. We know that there are two mitzvahs when it comes to Birkas HaMazon. There's an entire chapter in Brachos that's dedicated to this. There's a mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon to recite the Bracha. And there's another mitzvah on top called Zimun. And the Rambam established that Shlosha She'ochlu Paski Echad, three people ate bread together, Chayovim Levarech Birkas HaZimun Kodem Birkas HaMazon. So a new chiv emerges here on top of Birkas HaMazon, and that's called Zimun. The Rambam says, what is Zimun? And he goes through the details. One should get up and he should recite Nevarech Shachalnu Mishalo. Good. Then, take a look at Halacha Gimel. What does the Rambam say in Halacha Gimel? Did you notice something? Again, I'm trying to quiz you, you know, to see if you noticed it on your own. I just don't want to give it away so easily. Did you notice something in the Rambam Halacha Gimel that should catch your eye? The Rambam adds a requirement here that we never heard before. What? Exactly. The Rambam says V'akach Omer, because again, the Rambam combines Zimun and Birkas HaMazon into one entity, and the Mezamen is the one who recites the Brachos. And he finishes four brachos. Vehem onim amen achar kol bracha ubrach. You get the impression at first reading of the Rambam that this is an absolute requirement. And yet, if you go back to the Rambam in Perek Aleph Mihilchos Brachos, Halacha Yud Aleph, guess what? The Rambam does not require amen. The Rambam says, "Kol shomea bracha min abrachos mitchilasa v'ad sofa." V'niskavein lotzeis ba, yotze yidei chovaso afal pi shelo ona amen. This, my friends, is the famous principle of Shomea Kohona. Shomea Kohona means that I just have to be a Shomea, and I'm yotze my mitzvah without answering amen. The Rambam goes on to say that if he answers amen, if he chooses to do so, then he gets an extra kiyum. It's kimotzi bracha mipivdom. It's a special status. But the basic level of Shomea Kohona operates without Anias Amen. And yet, the Rambam in Birkas HaMazon, Perkei Halacha Beis, Halacha Gimel, requires Anias Amen. Is Rabosai, what conclusion am I forced to derive, just mathematically? Again, I'll give you the two principles that seem to contradict themselves, and you give me the third principle to reconcile this contradiction. Principle number one is the Rambam holds that Shomea Kohona operates without Anias Amen. Number two, the Rambam holds that in Birkas HaMazon, in order to engender Zimun, we need Anias Amen. So therefore, what conclusion do I have to derive? Then it's not what? No, again, Yechiel, I'm trying to train you just to think in this. Again, the Rambam holds that when Shomea Kohona operates, you don't need Amen. The Rambam holds that Birkas HaMazon requires Amen. Therefore, what do I conclude? Exactly. That in Birkas HaMazon, the Rambam is not operating with Shomea Kohona. And that's a pillar. Shomea Kohona could work in every single bracha with the exception of Birkas HaMazon. So you and I might say maybe it's Doraisa. But what happens when the Rambam takes a look at the Yerushalmi? Take a look at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that there's a separate halacha derived from the achalta v'savata. The Yerushalmi says the following. Kol mitzvos adam she'adam patur is motzi es harabim. If a person is patur from a mitzvah, he can still be motzi harabim chutz mi birkas hamazon. So the Yerushalmi right away asks, what do you mean if he's potter, he could be motzi the rab? In Vatanina, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and the Kol Sheinu Mechuyav B'Dov Reina Motzi Yisra Rabbi Deichav Vatso. So the Gemara answers in Yerushalmi, Hayachayav, but Yotza, he already fulfilled his obligation. So that's called Yotza Motzi. So even though I fulfilled my obligation, I'm no longer Chayav, I could be motzi you. And therefore, there's halacha of Yotza Motzi. Says the Yerushalmi, there's only one exception to that rule, where I cannot be mevarech for you and clinch your mitzvah on your behalf because of some special derivation and principle that establishes the exception to the rule. And what is that chutz? Birkas Hamas. Why not Birkas Hamas and Shenemar? Because the pasuk says Tzivbe V'Achalto V'Savato Beirachta Misha Achal Hu Yivarech. If you ate, you can be Mivarech. You didn't eat, you can't make the bracha. Now, the Mefarshim tell us that the Rambam is impressed by this Yerushalmi. He's always impressed by the Yerushalmi. And the question is, the Rambam understood from this Yerushalmi that there's no din of Shomer Ka'ona with regard to Birkas HaMazon. Because V'achalta V'savata Misha Achal Hu Yivarech. So that's Mafkia, the principle of Shomer Ka'ona. Like, for example, again, I don't want to confuse you, but in Sfiras HaOmer, the Torah says, U'sfartem Lachem, is that each person has to be sofer liatzmo. And therefore the Magen Avraham says, I can't count the Omer, and you listen, even though Shomer Kona normally would apply here, but it doesn't apply, because the special halacha of Usfartem Lachem. Here too, in Birkas HaMazon, there's a unique halacha of Yachalta V'Savata Ubeirach. There's got to be Mishachal V'Sava Uyivarech. And that's Mafkia, that completely undermines the halacha of Shomer Kona. No, the Rambam asks himself the following question, but all over the place, especially in the context of Zimun, we see that one person is Mavarech for someone else. In fact, the Gemara establishes in Brachos on Daf Mem Hei, believe that one day we'll get to it here, at the rate we're going, it may take a few years, but doesn't matter. In the Sugya of Zimun, the Gemara establishes that one person can be Mavarech Birkas HaMazon on behalf of another person. Let's say one person is a Sofer, meaning he's a Baki in the Brachos, and the other person is an Amaretz, he's a Boor in the Gemara's language, then the Sofer will be Mavarech on behalf of the Boor. And that too creates a Zimun. Even though Zimun normally requires what? Three people. But in the case of a boor and a sofer, you don't need three people. Two people is enough. Question is whether you could say Brak Shachal Mishalo. That's already a machlokas Rishonim. You can take a look. I'll give you a whole list of Rishonim in this direction and that direction. But everyone holds that the concept of Zimun applies to Birkas HaMazon, and one person can be motzi another. So the Rambam, on the one hand, is influenced by the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, V'yachalta v'savata v'irachta, he who ate could be mevarech. And therefore the halacha of Shomer Kohen is completely null and void with regard to Birkas HaMazon. On the other hand, the whole parasha of Zimun is predicated on the fact that one person recites Birkas HaMazon for the group. And if it's a group of two people and one person knows how to make the bracha and the other person doesn't, that also has a din of zimun, a quasi-zimun, not complete, but enough for one person to make the bracha on behalf of the other person. So the Rambam had to try to find a key to reconcile this contradiction. And that key, the Rambam found in a word that has only three letters to it. Namely what? Amen. My father, Zichron Levoch, used to always ask, what was the first Hebrew word you learned when you were a child? So I came up with Moda'ani, but he came up with Amen. He said the first thing that he learned when he was like a two-year-old, three-year-old boy was Amen. You know, Kel Melech Neman, Chazal say, Kola'ona Amen is Zizochet Olamos. You know, he gets world. So Amen, Rashi, the Rambam found a very significant role here to Amen. And the Rambam says the following. That in general, there's no need to be yotzi of bracha by saying amen. You can listen, you don't have to respond. Mum's the word. Why? Because shomer ka'on. But in one case, in one specific bracha, you need to answer amen. And why is that? Because there's no shomer ka'on. What bracha does the Rambam have in mind? Birkas HaMazon. In Birkas HaMazon, the Yerushalmi has already established that the din, the principle of Shomei Kohanim, doesn't operate. And the Rambam says, if that be the case, when Shomei Kohanim doesn't operate, what's the fallback position? Amen. And therefore, we go back to the Rambam in Perek Hey. The Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of Zimun, in which case one person is reciting the bracha on behalf of the others, who are all part of this chabura, and the Rambam says they have to answer Amen, Acher Kol Bracha U'Bracha, because Shomea Ka'on is completely suspended in the case of Birkas HaMazon.
You're saying that just because they have to answer Amen, that's why you say there's no...
Correct. If the Rambam was operating with Shomea Ka'ona, let's say the Rambam rejected the Yerushalmi, right? The Yerushalmi says there's no Shomea Ka'ona by Birkas HaMazon. If the Rambam would throw out the Yerushalmi and assume that Shomea Ka'ona works in Birkas HaMazon like it works in every other single bracha, then the Rambam would drop the requirement of Amen in Birkas HaMazon. Why does the Rambam insist that Shomea Ka'ona doesn't work in Birkas HaMazon? And it's not enough to listen to the bracha. You have to go a step further. You have to recite Amen. Says the Rambam, Shomea Ka'ona is out with regard to Birkas HaMazon. And why? Because the Yerushalmi insists that he who ate benches. If you didn't eat, you're not going to bench. And therefore, there's no way that you could be Mavarech through Shomea Ka'ona and be a Motzi someone else. Why? Because you are not the Mavarech. And even though there's Aloch of Shomei Ka'ona, it doesn't operate with regard to Birkas HaMazon. Says the Rambam, therefore I need Amen. And Rabosa, I want to show you that the Rambam is very consistent. There's another case in Halacha where the principle of Shomei Ka'ona is completely suspended. Anybody know what mitzvah I have in mind? We discussed it at the beginning, but it's so long. Tefillah. Kriyat Shema is also true. And we're going to talk about Kriyat Shema as well, not today, but another time. But tefillah, the Yerushalmi establishes in the third parak of Brachos, that with regard to tefillah, every person has to be mispalel for himself. There is no Shomei Ka'ona. So the Rambam had a problem. What do you mean there's no Shomei Ka'ona? And what about the Shliach Tzibur? The Shliach Tzibur recites the entire Shmon Esrei on behalf of the Tzibur. Take a look at the Rambam. You'll see it on the bottom of your page if you have the page I gave out last week. The Rambam in Perek Tes, Mihilchos Tefillah. You know what? Let me get out the Rambam here. Oh, listen. You remember I mentioned to you earlier, if you don't mind, just one little insert here that I forgot. I mentioned to you earlier that the Rambam holds that not only is one person mevarech for the group in the case of Zimun, but one person is mevarech for another person if that person is a boor. So I just wanted to quote to you that Rambam. It's not on your page here. Perek Hei Milchus Brachas Halacha Tesvav. You look it up later. The Rambam says Shnayim Sha'achlu. Two people ate together. He says normally Kol Echad V'Echad Mevarech Li'atzma. However, v'imhoya echad yodea, v'echad eini yodea, hizeshi yodea mevarech b'kol ram, v'hasheni, who can guess what the Ram is going to say here? But don't give me the right answer, I want the wrong answer. But the wrong answer is the right answer. What should the Ram have said now? He's yotzi because what? Because he heard the bracha, Shomei Ka'ona. No! Says the Rambam, Zeshi Yodea Mevarech B'Kol Ram, V'Hasheni Ona Amen, Acha Kol Bracha U'Bracha, V'Yotzi Yedei Chovaso. Again, the Rambam, consistent, suspends the Halach of Shomei Ka'ona. And why does he suspend the Halach of Shomei Ka'ona? Because what bracha are we dealing with? Birkas HaMazon, the Rambam holds in Birkas HaMazon, there is no Shomei Ka'ona. No, if the Rambam holds there's no Shomei Ka'ona in Birkas HaMazon, then I'm in a brach, I'm in a bind. Because how could this boor be Yotze? The Gemara says beferish that the Sofer recites the bracha. You take a look at the Kesef Vish on behalf of the boor. Says the Rambam, I have the same solution, namely what?
Amen.
Amen. Where else does the Rambam use Amen as a solution to the problem of the suspension of Shomei Ka'ona in Hilchos Tefillah? Take a look at the Rambam. Again, Amen plays the major role. Where's the Rambam? Perek Tes, Hilchos Tefillah. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Okay, Perek Tes Vehilchas Tefila Halacha Aleph. Say their Tefila Satzibuhu. Okay, this we don't have to go through the entire halacha, but the Rambam says in Halacha Gimel that Maschil Umispal Bekol Ram, right? The Shliach Tzibur prays out loud. Mitchilas Habrachos, from the beginning of, you know, Magen Avos, of Avos, right? Lahotzias Mishalo is Palil, and there are people in the audience who don't know how to be, they don't know how to pray. I mean, back in the day, you know, they didn't have printed Siddurim. How many people really knew how to pray? I mean, the Gemara talks about the Ilgim, who didn't know. Hakol Omdim Vishomim, and what? They're going to fulfill their mitzvah, right? But there's one problem. There's no Shomei Kohen by Tefillah. That the same Yerushalmi in the third parak of Brachos, which says that the din of Shomei Kohen is suspended by Birkas HaMazon, consistently is suspended by Tefillah. Sochta Rambam, Shomim V'onim Amen Achar Kol Bracha V'Bracha. And then the Rambam adds another chiddush. Who has to answer Amen? So if I couldn't daven on my own, because I know I'm not capable of doing so, for sure I have to answer Amen. There's no Shomei Kohen. Otherwise I'm not fulfilling my chiyuv. The Rambam goes a step further. He says, Bein Elu Shelo Yatsu Yidei Chovasim, meaning they couldn't daven. Bein Elu Shekvar Yatsu Yidei Chovasim, because now they want to add another mitzvah. It's not enough that they davened on their own. What kind of davening is that when you daven on your own? Yachid. They want to gain another mitzvah by listening to Shliach Tzibur. They want to get Tefillas HaTzibur. Says the Rambam, lo mi boy, it goes without saying, says the Rambam, that it, for those who did not pray on their own, they can't listen to the bracha of the tefillah of the Shas, because there's no Shomei Kohen. They for sure have to answer Amen. But even those who want to enhance the mitzvah by going beyond Tefillas HaYachid and achieving Tefillas HaTzibur, they too have to answer Amen to each and every one of the brachas. Let's just make a summary of what we have over here. We have in two different cases exceptions to the general rule of Shomei Kohen. Yeah? Namely, in the case of Birkas HaMazon, Yerushalmi derives from a pasuk, and the case of Tefillah, which the Yerushalmi says there's no Shomei Kohen, and based on logic, the Gemara says that Tefillah is Rachameinu, says the Yerushalmi, and therefore Rachameinu, you have to supplicate Hashem personally. You can't send a proxy for that, and therefore there's a din that Shomei Kohen is completely suspended. In both cases, the Rambam found the solution in the Anias Amen. And the Rambam says there's no way that you could be Yotzi Birkas HaMazon by listening Shomei Kohen. There's no way that you could be Yotzi Tefillah by listening Shomei Kohen. There is no Shomei Kohen, not in Birkas HaMazon, not in Tefillah. But what do you have to do, says the Rambam? You have to answer Amen. Yistach, wait a minute. So what good is Amen? That's what I want to understand. Normally we say that the great role of Amen, the power of Amen, is that Amen engenders a halach of kimotzi bracha mipiv dami. You know, it's not just Shomei Kohen that I could be yotzi with your bracha. I need to be mevarach myself. That's called Shomei Kohen. That's called Amen. Right? Kimotzi bracha mipiv dami. But I think we have to go even a step further here. What is the significance of Anias Amen in both Birkas HaMazon, Bezimun, and in Tfilas HaTzibur of the Shatz? Anybody? Excellent. Beautiful. I want to read to you the Rambam in Perek Ches Milchus Tefillah Halacha Tes. The Rambam says, Shliach Tzibur Motzias HaRab Yidei Chovasa Ketzad B'Shoshu Mispal V'Hem Shomim V'Onim Amen Achen Kol Bracha Bracha Harei Hein Kim Mispalim. The Rambam says that there's a group effort over here. Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem. There's a Kulchem over here. Whenever there's a Kulchem, I'm just using that with Saber Tozen, then we all have to link up to form part of one entity. And how do we do that? How do we make every single person into a mispower? After all, the person is just sitting passively doing nothing. He's listening, but he's not actively participating. The answer is that Chazal established that the Amen, the Anias Amen, is an active participation in the bracha or in the tefillah. and it links you up with the entire tzivur. Is Memela, when we go back to Zimun, the halacha is that the Bnei HaChavura want to join together to form one unit. It's not enough to listen passively. You have to actively recite Amen, and that links you up to the Chavura. And the Rambam holds that that applies. And that requirement of Amen applies not just in the case of Shlosha Sha'achlu, but even in the case of Shnaim Sha'achlu. Because in Shnaim Sha'achlu there's also a new entity being formed here, a kind of Chabur of two members, because the Boor has no way of being Yotze his Chiyuv, he can't be Mavarech. He doesn't know Birkas HaMazon. But on the other hand, not only that, he can't be Yotze vicariously through Shomei Kohanim, because Yushalmi says V'achalta V'savata V'rachta. And the answer is that he links up with the person who's Mavarek, the Sofer as we called him, to create this new entity. And what vehicle allows him to do so? The Anias Amen. On both sides, I would like to suggest a wild possibility. Let's go back to Rashi that we started. We had two kashas on Rashi. The closest kasha is number one. How could a mechuyav bedavar derabanan, like a person who ate only a kezayis, be motzi someone who was ate a kezay svir and he's chayav d'oraisa? And the second question is, Rabbi Kivega's question, why can't an isha who is chayeves midrabanan in Birkas HaMazon be mevarech on behalf of her husband? And I think the answer to both questions lies in the Rambam's Amen. Rashi, like the Rambam, holds that the halacha of being motzi someone in Birkas HaMazon is a very unique halacha. The normal principle of Shemei Kohen has been suspended in Birkas HaMazon, like the Yerushalmi. Now for us, what do we have in its place? We have Anias Amen. Anias Amen completely circumvents the need for Shomei Kohanim, because Anias Amen makes me part of the Chabura. It's as if I was the Mavarech. Or in the case of Tefillah, when I answer Amen, it's as if I was the Mispalel. If that be the case, I don't need Shomei Kohanim. Shomei Kohanim means I link into your Brach, and I'm Yotzi Marchiv through your Brach. No, I become the Mavarech. Through what entity, through what mechanism do I become the Mavarech? How does Amen achieve that goal? The answer is because I become part of that unit, of that Chabura. That's what Rashi means when he says that it's enough to have a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan. If you have a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan, you are part of the Zimun. You are part of the Chabura. You too can be a Mavarech. When the Chazal instituted the chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon d'oraisa in the case of Achilas Kezayis, it was a double takana. Number one, it was the takana to be mechayev you in Birkas HaMazon because you ate a kezayis. Number two, you're now becoming part of the Zimun. You become a full-fledged member of the Chabura. And as such, you can now be Mavarech. Again, what condition now has to be fulfilled? We have a new condition here. Amen. The others will answer Amen. They respond Amen. So for example, Yanai HaMelech is listening to the brachas of Shimon ben Shetach. And Shimon ben Shetach is only Chayim and Birkas HaMazon. The Rabbanan says, Rashi, doesn't matter. As long as Yanai responds Amen, he becomes part of that Chabura. And now he's Yotze as if he was the Mavarech himself, because the Amen links him up to this new entity called the Chabura. Says Rashi, and this is the bell of Rashi, that had the Chiyuv of Chinuch been incumbent upon the child, the Katan, not upon his father, but directly on the child, then he too would be Chayiv in Zimun. Because when he eats, and now is Chayiv in Birkas HaMazon, B'Torah Schinuch D'Rabbanan, Birkas HaMazon goes a step further and engenders, as part of a package deal, the Chiyuv of Chabura, the Chiyuv of Zimun. And therefore the Katan himself could create a Zimun. The exception to that rule is what? Is an Isha. That's the answer to Rabbi Kivega's question. There was never a takana of Isha to be part of a Zimun. She was part of the takana of Birkas HaMazon as a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan. But the Rabbanan did not go one step further and impose upon the Isha the din of Chabura. And therefore, if she's not part of the Zimun, even though she's Chayeves in Birkas Avos and Derabbanan, she cannot be Motzi a man. Because in theory, even a Zachar can't be Motzi a man. Even a Gavra can't be Motzi a man because he only ate a Kazayis. But the Teretz is, once Derabbanan imposed upon him a twofold, two-faceted chiv, number one, Birkas Avos, number two, Zimun, now he's part of the Chabura, he could be the Mavarech representing the Chabura, and they all answer Amen, and link it to his Chabura. That's true with regard to whom? With regard to a man. Because a man was included in the chiv Derabbanan, not just with regard to Birkas Avos, but also with regard to Zimun, not so in the case of a woman. And Rabbos, I just want to add one last point. We have the sheet of Tosus. Tosus holds that a chiv derabbanan could never be motzi a chiv d'oraisa. But the exception to the rule is birkas hamazon. And the question is why? So I could have answered, and it would have been a beautiful mahalach in Tosus, that Tosus is also operating midin chabura. And Tosus thinks that once you mechuyev in Birkas Hamazon derabbanan, you become part of the Chabur of Zimun, and your bracha now facilitates all the others through our Amen to link up to your bracha as if they were the Mevarchim, because they've become part of the Chabur. But Tosus gives a totally different answer. And Tosus says, Nein, Yesh lomar shani Birkas Hamazon mishum shu chumra yesera yoser. It's a different kind of chiyuv derabbanan. And I think what Tosus means to say is that although in regard to a general chiyuv derabbanan, there's no such thing that as a mechuyuv midrabbanan to be motzi a mechuyuv d'oraisa, but the Rabbanan did something very unique in the case of this so-called chumri yaseh. You know what they did? They said the following. The Torah recognizes your Birkas Hamazon. You only ate a Kazayas. But you know what? How did you accept upon yourself, how did Klal Yisrael accept upon themselves that mitzvah of Birkas Hamazon in the case of the Kazayas? They accepted it upon themselves in a way that even the Torah could recognize that Birkas Hamazon. Not midin Zimun, not midin Anias Amein, but simply because the Rabbanan can validate a bracha which was accepted upon themselves as a chumri yaseira. To what extent? That the Rabbanan now have the right to say that if this entity of a bracha is recognized by the Torah, then someone else can leak into that group. And basically, I would say the following, that with regard to the mitzvah of chinuch, you might ask the following question, if Rashi maintains that if the katan would have been chayav in chinuch, as a personal obligation, he could have been motzi a gadol in Birkas Hamazon, and the question is, how could a person who's only chayav derabbanan be motzi someone who's chayav d'oraisa? So he gave three mahalachim, basically. The first mahalach is because the chiyuv derabbanan is enough to engender an entity of a bracha, which the Torah recognized. Number two, it might work midin arvus, but that would only be limited to someone who will become a bar chiyuv. It would not apply to the case of a katan. And number three, we have Rashi's mahalach. We're not sure if Tosus accepts it, that through the operation of chabura and zimun, someone who's mechuyuv derabbanan could engender a bracha that the others can link into through Anias Amen as part of one Chabura. But that all assumes that the Maisa of a Katan is a meaningful Maisa. And I don't know. Does the Halacha recognize the Maisa of a Katan as a meaningful Maisa? And in the case of Chinuch, Rashi is saying that if Chinuch would have been imposed upon the Katan, then the Torah would recognize that Maisa is a Maisa, such that others can be Yotzi, that Chinuch Birkas Hamazon. And it's an amazing kind of a concept. Once the Rabbanan impose a Chi of Chinuch, then it must be that what the child is doing has the status of a Maisa Mitzvah. For example, the Ritva says in Sukkah that when you buy Dalad Minim for a Katan, you can't just buy him a lemon. You have to buy him dalad minim ksherim. That's going to cost us a pretty penny. And Reb Chaim Brisker, who the Rav used to tell us, was very makpid that when it comes to the mitzvah of chinuch, you got to buy him the real makoy, as we would say, the bona fide mitzvah with a heftah shel mitzvah that's kosher. There's no cutting corners over here. The answer is that it would be meaningless to impose upon the father, let's say according to Rashi Shita, a chiyuv of chinuch to train his son to do something which is not a ma'aseh mitzvah. And therefore Rashi maintains that if lo yitzuyer, the chiyuv chinuch was incumbent not only on the father but also on the son, then the son would definitely have a bona fide ma'aseh mitzvah. And once we recognize that ma'aseh mitzvah as being a chalushay ma'aseh mitzvah, then the gadol could link into that ma'aseh mitzvah and he could fulfill his obligation through the ma'aseh of the kohen. Okay, Rav Osai, we'll stop here. Right. Correct. And therefore, the only way a cotton can be motzi a gadol, according to Rashi, is if the gadol ate a kezias and he's only chayv to Rabban. Then they both share the same chiyuv. No, and I'm not shlugging it up. I'm just pointing out that we still didn't get, without adding that last piece, we can't be satisfied here, because on the one hand, Rashi says the chiyuv chinuch is incumbent upon whom? On the father. On the other hand, the Gemara says explicitly that a katan could be motzi his father if his father only ate a kezias. So how are we going to understand that? And we suggested that according to Rashi, the katan is not part of zivum. According to Rashi, he's not part of arvus. So what facilitates, what mechanism allows the katan, who's chayav derabbanan, excuse me, whose father is chayav derabbanan, and the child is not chayav derabbanan according to Rashi, how could he be motzi his father who ate a kezias? It doesn't work out with any of them.
Is there any medayik in that particular gemara about the father and the son? The gemara was spoken specifically about the son and his father, not a lav bachia than any other man.
Well, Tulsa certainly didn't understand it that way. The question is, are there Rishonim, you know, who did understand it that way? But if we assume like Tulsa's, and Rashi would accept Tulsa's, that the cotton is being motzi a gadol because the gadol ate kezias and then he's only chayv to rabbanon, and Rashi would have to admit that a cotton is not part of arvus because as a cotton he'll never be chayv in zimun. And on top of that, he's not chayv in zimun the way we interpreted Rashi. If that be the case, by what mechanism, by what right can a cotton be motzi a gadol who ate kezias? So we're suggesting that even though Rashi imposes the chiyuv chinuch on the father, but insofar as the father is chayiv chinuch, the maisa katan has to be a bona fide chalushay maisa. Otherwise, what we're doing is an exercise in chazut panim, as we say. You know, just a fake. It's meaningless. The answer is that in order to make sense out of the chiyuv chinuch on the father, you have to upgrade the maisa the katan, at least mitra abanon, to a maisa mitzvah. So it could be in general, as universal rule, a katan doesn't have a maisa mitzvah. But where there's a chiyuv chinuch incumbent on the father, the rabbanon have to upgrade the maisa katan to a bona fide maisa mitzvah. And therefore, mitra abanon, he has a maisa mitzvah. It's not going to help him to be motzi a gadol who ate kidei svir, but at least to be motzi a gadol who ate kezias.
What's the spar of the Rishonim?
Misha, do you want to say something?
There was just one thing that I remember we read towards the end. The last step on the stage is that you have to repeat word after word. Right. And that works also.
Right.
That works because you're actually doing it.
Right.
But you don't know what you're doing.
I'm suggesting that at the end of the day, Amen works, you know, in the same kind of way. Not exactly the same.
Or Amen can't work because the first person doesn't really have it in him. But if he can say the words and you can repeat after him, even if you don't understand what you're doing, then
you mean like let's imagine there's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, right? Reuven is able to say the words. Shimon could just mimic the words, and Levi can't even mimic the words. So it could be that when Shimon mimics the words, if Levi says Amen, then Shimon is yotze because he himself was the Mavarik, right? Even though he's not capable of doing it on his own, but he could.
But you have that other last step in where it's possible to salvage an impossible situation if you repeat, even if you don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. What's this for those who say...
Tavia, you're on your way out?
Yeah.
For Gesundheit, if I don't see you. You'll be back on before Shabbos.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get together on Shabbos, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Vimatzliya.
Women in our class.
Yeah.
There are those who say that women are included in Arvus. Why?
Oh, so there are two parts to Arvus. One part of Arvus is whether a woman can be motzi a man. The other part of Arvus is whether the man can be motzi a woman. In the case of a woman being motzi a man, kuliyamalo please, she's not included in Arvus. And the flip side is going to be a major controversy.
Why is it so kuliyamalo? It's as long as he's chayiv in any, the person is chayiv in any mitzvah, then he's already able to be.
So let me get back to you on that. I'm getting the directions mixed up. I have it. You know what? Give me if you can give me 2 minutes, I'll print this out for you.